22, Blue Witch. In his errands for the IBC, handling millions of credits for clients whose financial privacy was vital, Vesto Slifford traveled with the usual arsenal of security and surveillance disruptors. Most were standard electromagnetic emitters, ion pulse shredders, and white noise generators. Gray market gear designed to foil any unwanted wiretaps or recording devices that might compromise his clients' confidentiality. He also traveled with surveillance gear of his own, including the bug that he'd placed under Warden Blur's desk. These days, he scarcely gave any of these instruments a second thought as he installed them around whatever workspace he'd been given. Their deployment was, for him, as unremarkable as unpacking his overnight bag. But this time he'd brought along something special. A gift from the banking clan's lab techs.
"We're still beta testing it,"
the tech on Moonalinst had told Slifer before he departed, handing him a featureless blue tube about the size and width of his index finger.
"We call it the Blue Witch."
"Poetic," the moon said dryly.
The tech shrugged.
"It creates a void on the most sophisticated security holocams. Like a lens flare, except transparent. And it follows you around the room. Works on all electronics, audio and video. Completely undetectable. Careful, though."
He'd tapped a button on the bottom and the thing blinked instantly to life.
"She runs hot."
Slifer had inspected the device and shook his head, handing it back.
"I've got my own equipment."
"Uh-uh."
The tech crossed his arms.
"He wants you to take it."
"He does."
"I spoke to him personally. He wants to be assured that you've taken every precaution."
And so Slifer had brought the thing along with him. Now, sitting in his guest quarters off an unfinished upper level of Coghive 7, he switched on the Blue Witch and waited for his holo unit to activate. A high-frequency whine shivered through the air, and within a few seconds, he found himself face-to-face with the moon who had sent him here, arguably the most intimidating presence that he'd ever encountered.
"Magister Damask," Slifer said, bowing slightly.
"Slifer?"
Higo Damask was wearing a long-sleeved robe and a transpirator mask. In the background, the holofeed captured just the faintest hint of whatever world he was currently occupying. An elaborate fortress on a jungle moon of some sort. Slifer thought he could make out the cry of exotic birds in the distance.
"You've taken all the necessary precautions for this transmission."
"Yes, Magister."
"And what have you learned?"
Slifer felt a thin blade of anxiety slide upward from his stomach to press against his chest cavity. Though he'd only spoken twice with Higo Damask before departing for Coghive 7, he'd intuitively grasped that when it came to relaying bad news, it made no sense to waste time.
"Distressingly little, I'm afraid."
"Really?"
Damask's tone was impossible to read.
"That is disappointing. Have you made contact with Maul?"
"Not directly, no. But the device that I planted in her office allowed me to listen in on a conversation between him and the warden. He denies knowing anything about Radik. Denies, in fact, that he's even been dispatched here to find him."
Damask's eyes narrowed.
"So he doesn't know that I sent you?"
"No, Magister. I was under the impression that you wanted your name kept out of it."
Slifer waited, feeling a thin film of perspiration gathering over his skin.
"Was I mistaken?"
For a long time, Damask said nothing.
Perhaps Maul's true mission here is more secret than I was led to believe.
If we know who his control was, Slipher began.
I know who his control is. That is not the issue.
Slipher nodded hesitantly.
Sir, if I may...
What is it?
Is it possible that Iram Radik isn't on Coghive 7? Or anywhere, for that matter?
With no way of knowing how this hypothesis might be perceived, he drew in a breath and pressed on.
Surely you've heard the speculation that the man himself doesn't truly exist. That he's, well, a sort of ghost.
A ghost?
A construct, fabricated by a cabal of arms dealers. A false front, created to intimidate the competition. I mean, the fact is that no one has ever actually seen Radik and lived to speak of it. Perhaps Maul is discovering that for himself as well.
Slipher's voice cracked, and he stopped long enough to swallow and steady himself.
Or someone has gotten to him.
Again, Damask did not respond right away, choosing to simply gaze back at Slipher over the bridge of his breathing mask. Then he reached out of view of the hollow. For a moment, Slipher feared he was going to cut off the transmission. But instead, a wash of data sprang up, superimposed over the visual transmission. Bright columns of digits and various ports of call rising over Damask's face.
18 standard months ago,
Damask said,
a Vigo from the Black Sun Syndicate docked an unlicensed shuttle out of Gateway. The destination was Coghive 7. That particular cargo was a load of stolen Taraski explosives that had gone missing from a Blastech heavy ordnance satellite the previous year. 6 months later, the same shuttle docked again. This time it was carrying a load of beryllium.
May I ask where you acquired this in...
It doesn't matter. You could have easily uncovered it yourself if you had lived up to your reputation as an analyst.
Magister, those specific ingredients...
Slipher stared at the hollow, struggling to absorb what was being said along with the columns of data. The conclusion was unavoidable.
You think someone's actually manufacturing thermal detonators here on Coghive 7?
Or worse?
I can't imagine...
Our intelligence indicates the most recent shipment to arrive was less than a month ago. Orbital detection identified the payload as weapons-grade depleted uranium.
For the first time, Vesto Slipher realized that he had nothing to say. Not that it mattered. The mask seemed to have grown tired of listening to him.
Iram Radik is not a ghost, nor is he a construct. A false front, or a figment of Command Galactic imagination. He is real. Given the facts at hand, there can be no doubt that he is alive and well and operating somewhere inside Coghive 7. And depending on whatever high-grade ordnance he may be manufacturing next, I have reason to believe that Maul's mission may represent a greater threat to galactic stability and my own personal safety than even he is aware of.
So you're asking me to...
I'm asking you to stop hiding your inadequacy under the pretense of idiotic speculation. And do your job. Get the information before Maul does. Deliver it to me and me alone.
Yes, Magister.
In the meantime, you may find it helpful to remember that until you have satisfied your assignment, you can consider yourself a permanent resident of the prison. Is that clear?
Absolutely, sir. And may I add, if I have disappointed you in any way, I...
But it was too late. The hollow was cut short, taking Damask's face and the data flow with it. Slipher was talking to dead air.